B-Pod Studios.
Joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline, Coach Lynam, it is just insane right now on the Philadelphia basketball scene when we look at the 76ers. Ben Simmons probably out for the rest of the year. Joel Embiid, injury, don't know the severity. Questioning Brett Brown's rotations. Questioning why Alec Burks wasn't getting run when Raul Neto was. All these questions right now surrounding the 76ers. So please, Coach, tell us right now, when did you decide to grow your beard?
That came about by accident, Mark.
Oh, was it accident? Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I had kind of stopped going to the barber, and as the hair started getting longer, I said, I'm going to kind of compliment that with a long beard.
I like honestly, your mind knows one gear, and that gear is analysis. Like, even to grow your own beard, you're like, you know what would make sense here? The beard. Now, was there a conscious decision of no mustache?
Mustache grows much slower than the beard.
Okay. See, my dad's the same way. Like, my dad can't grow the full-on beard. He's got to go with, like, the chin strap there. But I like it. Yeah, it's been getting a lot of attention, Coach.
Yeah, they had some fun with it, which was fine. I was really kind of surprised that first night when Amy said you were blowing up on Twitter. I thought I said something inappropriate at halftime.
Of course, the great Amy Fidulia referencing there. No, Coach, we love it. And you know what? Everything looks great when you wear it with swagger, and you're all about swagger. As the kids say, Coach, you drip.
I don't know about that.
Well, you know, all right, in all honesty, Coach, we don't know what to do with this team at this point. Ben, the story is right now he's going to leave the bubble. He probably will not be back if the Sixers don't make a long playoff push here, a deep playoff push. And now Joel Embiid has this ankle injury. We don't know the severity. Have you heard anything about the injury to this point as to how serious we should be taking it?
No, Mark, I haven't, but Mark Zumoff, I think, made a pretty good point, which Brett Brown echoed in his post-game press conference. I thought that the way Joe was so engaged during the game after the injury when he was on the bench, you know, almost jovial at times, I really think that barring something unforeseen, that would tend to make you say that, yeah, he twisted the ankle for sure. I mean, we saw what happened. But I really, I'm going to cross my fingers and say I don't think it's going to be all that severe.
Would you say, I mean, our speculation here has been, even though it might not be that serious, we probably won't see him until the playoffs. Would you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I would say that's a strong possibility. You know, unless it's, you know, one of those things sometimes, you know, you roll that ankle and literally the next day there's no swelling at all and, you know, you don't even realize you did it. They might want to just to keep them tuned up. You know, they might want to give them a run in one of those last two games, you know, just for limited minutes.
Jimmy, what's been driving me crazy with this team has been the pick and roll action on both sides of the floor. But let's start defensively. Dame Lillard last night, we saw Zach Collins coming up giving picks. We saw numerous guys giving him pick and roll opportunities. And the Sixers defensively, to me it seemed, never did anything different except allow it to happen, allow an open jump shot, allow an open drive. Dame Lillard did exactly what he wanted all night long. My question to you is, am I wrong in what I'm seeing that the Sixers' pick and roll defense is horrendous and they've done nothing to change?
Well, I don't know if I'd go quite as far as horrendous, that it's lacking, yes, but, Bob, turn any game on. I mean, that's the play of choice in this league now. And I've been saying, actually, I think you know, I've been saying for years that the offense is so far ahead of the defense that it's almost comical. And I mean that literally. I'll choose that word. These guys, the Lillards of the world, the James Hardens, they become unguardable. And all you have to do is look at the scores of these games. I'm going to guess and say the average of an NBA team during the regular season was somewhere around 111, 112 points a game. I mean, they're up. The average team now is up probably 117, 118 since they've been in the bubble, and with the pick and roll and the 3-point shot. I mean, you see where Lillard leaves the floor. He rises and shoots that jumper. He's 4 feet beyond that three line, and you take a team like Houston, and you know, they're the most extravagant when it comes to shooting the three. The other night, Houston played a game where they shot the ball 91 times. You ready to know how many threes they shot out of 91 shots? About 61.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So it's, your point is well taken, but believe me, the Sixers are, they're one of the crowd. It's a very, very, and Bob, the whole point is, could they have trapped Lillard more to get the ball out of his hands? Of course they could have, but understand that when you trap somebody, you are going to give up an open look. Plain and simple. That's what it does. If two people go to the ball, it puts you in rotation. You're scrambling around to find an open man. So good luck.
Jimmy, I posed this question earlier. I'm trying to grasp something that says to me, okay, they can be, meaning the Sixers, they can be successful once playoffs come. And obviously Joel Embiid is the focal point of that. But after that, what are the positives that you see that maybe you can grasp onto going into these playoffs?
Well, I think you have to, Bob, start. Can they be successful? Sure they can. We've seen it. We're an underdog team. You know, an NFL team loses a quarterback. We saw that right here in Philly, and they win a Super Bowl. To be able to go out there, the number of times that you play in an NBA playoffs when you're undermanned, not having a Ben Simmons, it's a huge hit. Now, you're going to, obviously, if you're going to have a successful run to get, you know, deep into the playoffs, you're going to need a healthy Joel Embiid. I don't think there's any question about that. But I will say that we've seen some positive signs. The play of Alec Burks, not just last night, where he was terrific again, particularly in the fourth quarter. But I think Josh Richardson, you know, rounding back maybe into form that we saw earlier in the season. I think there's some possibilities. What I didn't particularly like last night, you're going to need Tobias Harris at crunch time. Last night in the fourth quarter, Tobias had two shots and 2 points for the quarter. That's not going to get it done. He's your number two guy now. You need him to be much more involved.
Speaking with Jim Lynham himself, Jim, when you look at Alec Burks, and you just mentioned his name, is he a guy that should be getting more minutes here, maybe even Shake Milton minutes, or is his spark off the bench more what this team needs?
I have no problem with him coming off the bench, but I will say, Mark, that he's got a little bit more game than I realized in these last two that he's played, where he's had an opportunity, you know, to play with the ball. And I know Alec Burks a little bit. He was played for Utah for, I'm going to say, 6-7 years when he first came out. He was at Colorado, and he was a pretty high draft pick. I'm going to say he was drafted somewhere in that 10 to 15 range. But he was a bench player in Utah, and you know, he was on the scouting report as a very good bench scorer, not so much a great shooter. But I will tell you this. I said this to somebody in the studio the other night. Alec Burks in Utah in 6 years, he may not have run 10 pick and rolls in 6 years. He ran 10 pick and rolls in that game the other night. So obviously the guy's worked on his game and they've coached him up. He's a very, very good pick and roll player. Not only can he get his own shot off the pick and roll, he gets loose for a jumper, he takes it to the goal, but he can pass off the pick and roll. And, you know, credit to these coaches and players, because it's such a, you know, a devastating weapon now that they really work very, very hard at. You know, if you're a wing player or a perimeter player, you better run pick and roll or there's somebody on that bench going to take your spot.
Jim, what's one thing you'd like to see? Look, obviously without Ben Simmons, it's going to be hard, but what's one thing you want to see schematically from this team in the next three games and going into the playoffs?
Well, I'm not sure, Mark, you're going to have, as you alluded earlier, Joel in there. I think that their success, they're obviously going to play through Joel. You see how what they've been doing before he got injured last night in these previous games, what, four games in the bubble. They put the ball in Joe's hands, I mean, consistently, that he could maybe get a little deeper at times. Yeah, I'll buy that. But let's be honest. He's been tremendous. He's rebounded the ball. He's played his defense. And not only has he scored, but he's gotten other people involved when he's gotten double teamed. And I think that's going to be the most important thing. The Sixers have to be extremely effective playing out of the double team, because teams in the playoff are not going to let Joe dominate the guy who's trying to guard him. And I say that you know, with a little grain of salt, trying to guard him. There's nobody that's going to guard Joel Embiid over the long haul, straight up one-on-one. So teams are going to double him, and he's been doing a good job getting the ball out. So it's incumbent upon his teammates that they make something happen when that ball comes flying to the other side of the court.
Jimmy, what have you made of Matisse Thybulle since they've come back from this break? It seemed like he was hitting a wall before. It seemed like he had pretty good legs coming back in the first few games afterwards. How do you see him being used in this playoff run?
Well, I think Thybulle is who he is right now, Bob. You know, he's a young guy, but he's a really very, very active and advanced defender for a young fella. I mean, is he going to make a mistake here or there defensively, maybe by gambling too much or fouling the three-point shooter? Sure, he's a young and experienced guy. But I love the energy that he brings, and I think, you know, he's just a guy who you can put out there with some confidence because he's going to make things happen defensively, and I think you have to live with his occasional mistake.
All right, Coach, I got to ask you this because on a personal note, my daughter turned one yesterday, and I got a lot of toys I have to put together now, which is something I didn't think I'd have to do given it's all electronics nowadays. When D was little, was Coach in the in his office? Was Coach at the house? Were you putting together toys? Did you do that, or did somebody else do that?
I got to be honest, that's not my forte.
Okay,
rest his soul. My dad was beyond great at that, and it's ironic that you bring D's name up. I'll tell you whom I put together. I have a TV project going on today. One of my brothers is coming. My guru for putting things together is D's son, Max.
Oh, really?
So you're a little bit away from that, Mark. You don't have a grandson to lean on yet.
How old is Max?
Max is going to be a freshman in high school.
And he comes over and he takes care of your fix-it problems?
He's the best. He whips out that diagram. I can't even. I'm looking for the numbers. Hold on, Max. Where's number? Show me number one. You know, the diagram goes from 1 to 131.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Coach, we really appreciate you coming on with us, man. I know we'll talk to you again when the playoffs get started, but thanks for coming on. You're a great man, dude. I appreciate it.